We had testimonies last night, and I was very much impressed by the fact that so many referred to Paul's own testimony as he gave it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We've had some wonderful times here, and things have happened to me on this visit that never happened to me before. Tonight I drove for the first time in a police car. We were returning from Silver Springs, and as we came along the road here from Melrose, by that new church that's built at the corner there, I realized that was a shortcut. I'd always taken that way. And then I'd also learned another shortcut beyond that one. My wife was driving. I'm not blaming her, because I was directing the operation. But we took a wrong turning there and landed in the sand. The preacher came to a sandy end. We were well and truly stuck in the sand, and I went to this home nearby and discovered it was a policeman who lived there, and he got on his CB radio and called the police to come to take me back here to Park of the Palms. So very shortly, two police cars arrived. The sheriff was in one and another police officer in another one. So I only needed one car, of course, to take me here, and I had an opportunity of bringing a testimony to the man who was driving me, and that was very worthwhile. Our brother, Emmett Ayers, very kindly came to my rescue. He surveyed the situation, then we came back here, and Mr. Jack Gawley came with us, and he had two boards, and as a result of that, we got out of the hole in which we had found ourselves. And all is well. I hope that's the last mistake I make this year. I was telling Brother Gawley that I'd heard of a man in Scotland who had had the misfortune to get his car in the ditch. A farmer came along with his tractor and pulled him out. Only took a couple of minutes. And so the man who was driving the car insisted that he send in an account for taking the car out. So he got an account for $50. He thought that seemed rather a large amount for such a small time. So he asked the farmer about this, and could he give him the details? He said, "Yes. For pulling the car out of the ditch, $5. For knowing how," only he said for Ken and who, "for knowing how, $45. So I discovered tonight it really does depend on knowing how. But I'm not going to live this one down for a long time. My wife's going to continually remind me of how I went astray. I was preaching in New Zealand once, and my wife knows that I have the habit sometimes of taking the wrong turning. I was going to this assembly, and I took the wrong road. After the service, I was talking to a lady, and I asked her where she lived. She said, "Well, I live quite near the place where you went wrong." Now tonight, I would like to read with you, if I may. First of all, in the Gospel according to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Now in this chapter we have the account of the miracle of how a man who was blind was made to see. I haven't asked Mr. and Mrs. Willie this before, but I'm wondering if they knew Dr. Shelley, who lived in Cyprus. He was an ophthalmic surgeon. Okay. I'd never asked you that before, and it just struck me tonight that you might know Dr. Shelley. He lived latterly in Australia. He told me that due to his experiences in the Middle East as an ophthalmic surgeon, he was completely convinced that this man in John 9 was born without eyes. He believed that this was an act of creation on the part of the Lord Jesus. He actually made this man a pair of eyes. Be that as it may, we know that he received his sight. Look at verse 25, if you will. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. All right, will you turn now to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're moving backward, but I can assure you I know where I'm going this time. Luke chapter 10 and at verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now we're going to go to the book of the Psalms, Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27. We'll read at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And now we're going back to the New Testament, this time the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Reading at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And finally, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. And reading at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And may God be pleased to bless to us this reading from his holy word. The man of whom we read in John chapter 9 gave this testimony, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. In this statement we see the importance of enlightenment. There had to be physical enlightenment in his case first, and then later on, in verse 38 of John 9, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to him, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So we observe here the importance of physical and subsequently spiritual enlightenment. This man was changed. He received his sight. He was challenged by the critics who said, give God the praise, this man is a sinner. Explain to us what has happened. But praise God, he was confident as he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I know he's mine, his name's so dear. He lives with me, he's ever near. 10,000 charms around him shine, but best of all, I know he's mine. I want to ask you tonight, as this year is moving now toward the close, do you really know with absolute assurance that your sins have been forgiven, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you are the possessor of eternal life, and that you're bound for eternal glory? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed? Can you say in the words of Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth? The importance of spiritual enlightenment. Then in Luke chapter 10, we read of Martha and Mary. Martha, as you will remember, was careful and troubled about many things, whereas Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior pointed out to Martha that one thing was needful, and Mary had chosen that good part that would not be taken away from her. Mary resolved to listen and to learn. Mary rested at the feet of the Lord. Mary received the word of the Lord. Here we see the importance of spiritual development. In British countries, there is a baby food called Glaxo. The advertising slogan for Glaxo is that it builds bonny babies. I hate my dudes. But there is one thing that I am absolutely certain about, and it is this: that the Bible builds bonny Christians. And that if we are going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is dependent upon the time that we spend reading, studying, and meditating upon the Word of God. When I became a Christian, it will be 50 years ago, on the 9th of January, my grandfather, who was a preacher, lived for a number of years in this country before he moved to New Zealand, sent me a Bible, and in the flyleaf of that Bible he wrote, read this book daily, pray over it, and God will bless you. And I want to say tonight, dear friends, that it is only as those words have been true of me that God has in any way been able to bless my ministry. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We teach the children a chorus: read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I once taught this chorus in a Sunday school in Wellington, New Zealand. There was a great deal of merriment amongst the Sunday school scholars. I wondered what the joke was, and I thought it must be the way in which I'm pronouncing my words. This grow, I thought, is really getting to them. But it wasn't that at all. In that Sunday school, there was a Sunday school teacher who was about 6'7". And the children in the Sunday school were saying, my word, he must have read his Bible and prayed every day, for see how tall he's grown. Well, I hope they got the spiritual application of the message. The importance of spiritual development. Then, the psalmist David in Psalm 27 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. It is wonderful to have the right desire, but it is more wonderful to have the right determination to carry it out. There are people who sit under the ministry of the word and they say, oh, I desire to live like that, or to be like that, or to witness like that. But are you going to follow through with it? Are you going to seek after it? In this verse, David is thinking of three things: living in the presence of the Lord continually, looking at the beauty of the Lord, and learning to know the word of the Lord, to meditate in his temple. The importance of spiritual enrichment. And as we live in the presence of the Lord, our lives will be enriched. As we behold or look at the beauty of the Lord, we will be blessed. And as we learn to know the word of the Lord, so we will become spiritually strong. I've often wondered, if I had to write an article for the Reader's Digest on the subject, my most unforgettable character, which one would I choose? And I thought, possibly I would choose the rich young ruler. Here was a young man with tremendous potential. He was successful, a rich young man, a ruler amongst his people. He was sincere, because he came with the right question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? But the end of the story is that he was sad, for he went away grieved because he had great possessions. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, when he called him good master, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." The Lord Jesus said, if you're calling me good, you're calling me God. And if you're calling me God, then you must do exactly what I say. One thing thou lackest. And that one thing that was lacking in that young man's life was complete commitment to Jesus Christ. And here I believe we see underlined the importance of spiritual commitment. I want to ask you, as we are moving shortly out of 1976 into 1977, will you decide and determine before the Lord that you will enter in to a real spiritual commitment, that your life will be entirely yielded to the Lord, so that he may use you in the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? My work is with young people. In the Washington Bible College, we seek to emphasize the vital importance of complete commitment to Jesus Christ. And I tell the students that the place of unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ becomes the place of unconditional blessing. If my life is yielded to God, that life can be wielded by God in reaching others with the emancipating evangel of Jesus Christ. The importance of spiritual commitment. One thing thou lackest. And finally, the importance of spiritual involvement. This one thing I do. Now we see that Paul, first of all, looked backward. Then he looked forward. And after that, he looked upward. He looked backward. And as he looked backward, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. And in the original text, it means, I keep on forgetting the things which are behind. Successes, as well as failures. Forgetting the past.
Then he looked forward. For he says, reaching forward to what lies ahead. And the picture here is of the runner in the race with his arms outstretched, eagerly anticipating touching the tape at the end of the race. He looked forward. My dear friends, Christianity is never static, it is always progressive. Reaching forward and onward. And then he looked upward. I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high or the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, we would look upward tonight. We would realize that the day is fast approaching when we shall have to stand before the Lord and give an account of our service to Him. The words of that hymn that state that we should live with eternity's values in view emphasize the importance of looking upward. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you going to covenant before the Lord tonight? Your life is going to be completely committed to Him, and that you'll become more and more involved in the greatest work in all the world. May the Lord speak to our hearts tonight. We've only got 20 minutes before the old year is out and the new year comes in. We've heard testimonies tonight. We've had a challenge tonight from the Word of God. We've heard about the harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. The laborers are few. The Lord says, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Are we going to become more than ever involved in this work of winning souls to Jesus Christ? May the Lord enable us all to make a vow in His presence even tonight and say, Lord, by Thy grace, I will. Shall we just pray now? Lord, we do ask that the Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts. We ask, Lord, that if there should be anyone here tonight who is not yet saved, as our brother was telling of how he got saved, just at the beginning of a new year, it became an entirely new year for him. So we pray that there may be some who, if they have never yet committed their lives to Jesus Christ, may be willing to make that decision even tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts as Christians. Bring before us our tremendous responsibilities. Help us to realize that Thou hast saved us in order that we might serve Thee with all of our hearts. Lord, wilt Thou enable us to say with the Apostle Paul, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, move in this chapel tonight. Help us to see the Lord Jesus Christ know that he has promised his presence. And we pray that in the presence of the Master, as we bow low before his scarred yet sacred feet, we may indeed say, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Lord, accomplish thine own will in this watch-night service, we pray. May it be a memorable one in the lives of many here because of clear and complete commitments that are made in thy presence. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Miller. Now we have until 5 minutes to 12 for a little period of prayer and praise. And we'd like the brethren, please, to get up and briefly praise the Lord and look to the Lord in earnest prayer. We praise him for all that's past, and we'll trust him for all that's to come. But I think sometimes we that are older talk too much about the past, and we better be looking forward, as our brother been saying, pressing forward. So let's be praying now. We've got about 11 minutes. Now, 11 minutes, 11 men can pray. Briefly, asking God's blessing on the coming year. Will we do that, please? Thank you.
On the back cover of your hymn book, How Good is the God We Adore. And look at that last verse, last sentence. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. On the back of your hymn book.
How good is the God we adore.
God, our Father, we solemnly bow in thy holy presence. 1976 is past, and thou hast been looking down from heaven every day, and a record has been kept, as we've already heard tonight. And one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account. We pray, Lord, that we might do it with joy, and there might be fruit, and there might be that which will bring glory to thine own name. As we now have entered this new year, 1977, we ask thee, Lord, that day by day we might see thy footsteps and walk in them, and day by day we may follow thee. We commit to thee everyone in this chapel tonight. We all have our own lives, our own interests, our own relatives, and we have families scattered all over the world. We commend them to thee lovingly at this moment and pray for thy blessing on each one. And we ask thee to lead everyone day by day. We thank thee for the fellowship we've enjoyed together tonight. We thank thee for the fellowship of Park of the Palms. And we pray, Lord, that thou lead us on. Bless our brother Jack Golly in all the business affairs of this place Park of the Palms, that it might go forward for thy glory. We commend it to thee, and we do thank thee for all that is past, and we trust thee for all that's to come. So we thank thee for this little service together tonight, and we ask, Lord, that this new year might bring glory to thy name. Lead us on, Lord. There are souls to be won, there are saints to be built up, there's work to be done for thee. Give us each to see and know the job thou hast given us to do, and help us to do it for thy glory. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'd like to do what we've been doing year after year here. We'd like to stand around the walls and hold hands, and we'll sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love." If we do that, I'll move out to the sides. And number 228, Normandy Boulevard number.